Welcome to the Bachelor Podcast with Nicole and Matt. This is the show where we discuss the whole family of Bachelor reality TV relationship shows on ABC. This is episode number 57 of our podcast, and we're here in the hiatus halfway between the end of Ben F's season and the start of Emily Maynard's season as the Bachelorette. So we're stuck in the middle. I'm sitting here with Nicole in the Bachelor Podcast studios. Nicole, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Have you enjoyed this little break, this little...
I have enjoyed the little hiatus. Well, I think after Ben's season, we needed a little break.
We did. A little time for breathing. And honestly, there was some life stuff that gets in the way. You know, we had a couple family emergencies we had to attend to, so...
Things are okay.
You know, we're kind of stabilizing a little bit and hanging in there. But We did want to get this episode out. We had so many people write us. We had, we had, of course, Kristen and Ryan. They were asking us when things were going to come out. We had Bill and Carolyn. They said, when are you guys going to do another follow-up podcast? Then we had Janet Kim asking us when we're going to have a new one. She wants to get all the spoiler recaps going on. But we did get this one email from Eliana, and she says, hey, Matt and Nicole, I want to let you know that I only watched the finale so I could listen to your podcast after. Boy, that was so painful. I knew the network was desperate when they dragged out Ashley to end the season on any kind of positive note. Pathetic. Mm. One thing I did differ with Nicole on, I was grateful Lindsay wasn't there for after the final rose. Her parting comment to Ben, call me if it doesn't work out, was so sad and beneath her. I didn't want to see her cry over that Muppet loser when she managed to exit otherwise gracefully. Elle from Manhattan. So what do you think about Elle?
I totally understand where Elle's coming from. I agree with her to an extent. I think Lindsay being on all of these other shows the day after and the night after the finale was, you know, in a way, her quote-unquote after the final rose appearance. You know what I mean? Like, we heard from her. We, you know, she was on Jimmy Kimmel. She was on Kelly Ripa. She was on Good Morning America, all these different shows. So that kind of made up for her not being on the After the Final
Rose. Right. There weren't really any loose ends that we really had to worry about. So do you think we've seen the last of Lindsay? Do you think she'll be back for Bachelor Pad? Or
she'll definitely be back for Bachelor Pad. Yeah. That's my opinion. She did all those shows the next day. She loves it. She loves the public eye.
Well, we'll talk more about Lindsay in a little while. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some future Bachelor stuff that possibly might be coming down the pipeline. And then we're going to go back and look at the spoilers and stuff that we didn't reveal to ourselves beforehand. And then we'll wrap it up. But so first, let's talk about the next Bachelor. Everyone wants to know, okay, well, is it going to be some guy from Emily's season, which I hear is, you know, they're filming it right now in North Carolina, or is it going to be somebody else? And so over the last couple of weeks, we've had some interesting rumors pop up. So this first one was interesting. Chris Harrison, this is the headline, it says, Chris Harrison thinks Chris, as in Chris Humphries, would make a great choice for the next Bachelor.
Oh, God, help me.
And so the article says, even though Chris Humphries' first relationship chronicled on reality TV was short-lived, Bachelor host Chris Harrison wants to give the former Mr. Kardashian a second chance at finding love. And he tells wetpaint.com, he would be good, and obviously he's ready to get married. It's just, could we make it longer than 72 days? I guess that would be the question.
Well, I would forever put The Bachelor to rest if Chris Humphries was the next Bachelor. I don't know if anybody out there has ever watched any of the Kardashian shows, which I have watched a few, and the episodes where Chris Humphries is on are torture to watch. He is the most boring person to watch on the face of the planet. It would be awful. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy per se. I'm just saying it'd be torture.
Well, one thing that's interesting about Chris Humphries, and this is a great segue into the next news item we have here, he's half black. Mm-hmm. So that does kind of add a little bit more of the diversity. But how about a real person of diversity? We have Lamar Hurd is rumored to be possibly the next Bachelor.
Yeah.
It would be our first Black Bachelor.
Finally.
So here's an article from, I think this is sort of from Entertainment Weekly. It says, Lamar Hurd's assistant, Tammy, tells Entertainment Weekly that Hurd now has a meeting with ABC on Monday. This is from a week or two ago. Fans of The Bachelor love to complain about the show, whether it's, this is all from Entertainment Weekly, whether it's the flatness of Ben Flanders' hair or the grotesque overuse of the word journey every season. It gives viewers something to gripe about. But there's one legitimate complaint that some fans have noticed in the past 16 seasons. Why has there never been a non-white Bachelor? Last year, the show's creator Mike Fleiss said that he and his team always wanted to cast for ethnic diversity. It's just that for whatever reason, they don't come forward. I wish they would. Well, Mike, your wish is granted. A movement is afoot to crown Portland-based sportscaster Lamar Hurd as the first Black Bachelor. According to this, to his professional-looking audition video, which if you watch it, if you do a search for it, mm-hmm. it's literally an audition video for The Bachelor. They're talking about the show. I mean, they're serious. And it's a great video. So basically, you know, he says that he's willing to do it. He'd love to be The Bachelor.
That would be awesome.
I wholeheartedly endorse his candidacy.
You know what? He's professional. He is definitely interesting because he's, you know, a sportscaster. He knows how to be on TV. Doesn't seem like it'd be a boring season. It seems
exactly.
like he has a good personality. Let's get somebody new and fresh. Seriously, I'm so sick of them just using the person from who didn't win the season before, or the person who didn't win, aka Emily.
Yeah.
But let's. I vote for Lamar Hurd.
Yeah, me too. Let's. All right, you heard it here.
Yep.
We're rooting for this.
Yep.
Go Lamar, go. All right. So let's do some spoiler recaps here. So the one, I guess, the big enchilada that was out there that Nicole and I didn't know was that Courtney was the one that was picked in the end.
Right.
And that was reported widely on all the blogs and all the tabloids for a long time. And we narrowly avoided hearing about it. But towards the end of the season, it was found out that Ben was already cheating on Courtney, supposedly.
Supposedly.
So this is the situation here. So according to Us Weekly, there's a picture of Bachelor Ben caught cheating, and there's a photo here of him, and we talked about this an episode or two ago, of him like grabbing some girl on her cheeks and trying to give her a smooch. Now he's like leaning in for the kiss. It's not an actual kiss.
Yeah, he could just be kissing her on the cheek. I don't think that's that big of a deal.
So the article reads, "The evidence is undeniable. He may have gotten engaged to Courtney Robertson in Switzerland last November, but that didn't stop Ben F. from stepping out on his bride-to-be with three different women in one weekend in mid-February in San Francisco. During the emotional After the Final Rose special, Ben blah, 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 blah." So basically they're accusing him of cheating on her. Now, we do know that they did break up for a period of time.
Yes.
So who knows? He may have, cuddled up with some girl, but he said on that show that he sweared on his father's grave.
Yeah, I believe him.
That he didn't do anything.
I believe him.
I don't think that he did cheat. But then there were, I read a couple other articles about how a lot of Courtney's acquaintances are coming forward and saying that she was, she's a gold digger. She's been on reality shows in the past. And yes, it's true. She was on a Australian reality show that was, akin to that. Remember that show Temptation Island?
Yes.
Or something like that. It was a show like that where she and her boyfriend at the time went. So there's some stuff about that. Now here's an interesting article that we found. This is from the National Enquirer. And this is about Lindsay Cox, who is the other runner-up.
Lindsay
it's about
with a Z.
Lindsay
with a
Z.
Which wasn't her birth spelling, by the way.
That's right. She changed it.
So
which
dumb.
Was so dumb. But this is about the guy who sent her that text. Remember, she famously got a text from her boyfriend that said, "Welcome to Dumpsville.
Population U."
Exactly. So here is an article about this. Do you want to read it?
Sure. So Eric Lindsay, not Lindsay, 33-year-old Seattle.
Wait, so if they got married, she'd be Lindsay.
Yeah.
That's great.
A 33-year-old Seattle area financial planner dated Lindsay for most of 2010. After their split, she went on to take part in the reality dating show 16th season, which filmed its last episode in Switzerland in November. Lindsay, 27, made it to the final rose ceremony, facing off against series villainess Courtney Robertson for a marriage proposal from Ben. But Eric says he's disappointed that Lindsay used him to get to the finale, and now he wants to set the record straight. Which, if I could just pause for a second, like, you're setting the record straight with the Inquirer? Really, exactly. Eric? Goes on to say, earlier in the season, millions of fans watched as the blonde beauty from Florida revealed that an ex-boyfriend had dumped her with a text message that read, "Welcome to Dunceville, population U." But Eric says it was actually his pals that sent the message after the couple had split, and he and Lindsay had even joked about it. What's more, he says he and Lindsay had sex just weeks after she returned from filming her final episode with Ben.
Whoa.
"I dated Lindsay for almost a year," Eric told The Inquirer. "After several months of living together, I realized that she wasn't the one for me. She's a great girl, but our relationship lacked passion."
Oh, well.
Eric says they talked about ending it for more than a month, and when he finally asked her to move out, she left within 24 hours. A week later, Eric and his buddies went to Arizona for a guy's weekend. He says Lindsay texted him throughout the trip. She wrote things like, "When you get back in town, we need to work things out. I really miss you," he recalled. "After several drinks around the pool, I started reading the text to my buddies and told them, 'This girl won't stop. Doesn't she realize to send her to Dumpsville?'" Eric then got up to get a drink from the bar, and when he returned, his friends told him they had sent Lindsay a text from his phone that said, "Welcome to Dumpsville, population U." So I, in my opinion, I kind of believe him that the story didn't go down the way she said it.
Right.
In that if they dated for over a year, I can't imagine that this guy would break up with her via a text like that.
I agree.
I don't believe her.
I agree.
I don't know if I believe him that he didn't write it, but I believe maybe he and his friends were getting together, you know, a week after, like he said, a week after the breakup. He had too few drinks, and maybe he sent it to her.
Or maybe he's like, "Wait, should I send this text?"
Yeah,
and like a friend hit the send button or something.
I think that's not how he broke up with her, though.
Right.
I do believe him in that way. I think he, if she's going to date someone for a year, that's how he's going to break up with her. I doubt it.
Right. But this guy is obviously not a winner. I mean, whether or not whether or not they did have sex,
I don't
when
know
she
I
came
him.
Back. I mean, come on.
Why are you telling everyone?
Why are you telling everyone that? That's exactly. That's disgusting. So we're going to close out the show here by recapping this top 10 list. So here are Chris Harrison's top uh-oh moments. Nicole, you're being upstaged by Chris Harrison.
I know. Thanks a lot, Chris. It's not uh-oh moments. That's what we phrase. His is just the most memorable moments.
Oh, okay. So he's not infringing on your
he's
copyright.
Not. He's
okay,
not.
Good.
So he says number one is paging the paramedics. He says, on The Bachelor's first season in spring 2002, contestant Rhonda Rittenhouse became overwhelmed and began hyperventilating. "I remember being in the control room and all of a sudden we just heard what sounded like a cat being strangled," Harrison tells People. "The paramedics came and we shot it and we rolled on it." Now that's commonplace, but that was the first ever reality TV moment with an ambulance. So I can understand. That's a pretty pretty big moment
that,
in Bachelor.
That was intense. Do you remember that?
I do. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. It was crazy.
I
was like, but that was like one of the first times that I was like, okay, you know, reality TV's not that bad. Like, this is kind of interesting. You know, someone could be dying right now. Okay.
So number two is The Bachelor Bows Big. The show's successful run began with a slow burn, but Harrison remembers the moment it became a phenomenon. "We ended with some 30 million viewers, I think as much or maybe... we even beat the Oscars that year." He says of season two, which starred Aaron Burge in the fall of 2002, "That changed my life," Chris Harrison says. "That's when I knew I was a part of something bigger than I had ever been a part of before. So, yeah, I mean, season two was huge. Season one was big because of, you know, reality shows like that didn't exist. But season two was even bigger.
And that's the one season I didn't watch. That's mm-hmm. the one. That's one. That's not true, but. That's my first
hole. You did watch it.
No, I didn't. I never saw season two with Aaron. No.
You did. We watched reruns of it.
No, I saw Andrew Firestone.
And Aaron.
No.
I saw Aaron. Anyway. So number three is First Lady. This is about when Trista was the first bachelorette. Chris says she's going to be a slut if she kisses everybody, and she's going to set women back. Harrison says of public opinion at the time. It was really controversial, and it took a very special woman to be that first bachelorette. Trista, she's the godmother of our series. So dumb. She's a large part of why we've been around so long. She was a good bachelorette.
It's true. She's very likable. She's got a good head on her shoulders, and she picked the right guy in the end.
She did. I didn't really like her all that much on the season of The Bachelor, when she was on The Bachelor season one. She was just okay. But she made a very good first bachelorette. Number four is Wedding Fever. Despite massive viewership when it aired, Harrison says he realized the magnitude of 2003's Trista and Ryan's wedding while taping the special in Palm Springs. I was sitting with Mike Fleiss, the creator of the show, and I was like, look what we've created, he says. These people we introduced are getting married, and there's helicopters and people hanging out of helicopters. It was this weird, surreal moment. It was a huge deal when they got married. What do you think about it?
I thought, well, there was some controversy about it. I do remember when they got married that the producers planted some strippers or dancers or exotic dancer, I guess is the best way to put it, for his bachelor party. And they told the dancers, like, try and get him to kiss you. And I remember he got really upset about it, as he should.
He did.
And so there was some controversy around it. It wasn't completely squeaky clean, but...
Next, Chris Harrison talks about the finale of The Bachelorette with Meredith. When Ian proposed to her, Chris Harrison says, that was huge for me because it happened on December 19th, 2003. My wife was in labor that night with my daughter, Taylor, he says. I was doing the final rose, and then 2 days later, we have our baby girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
So his whole life has kind of grown up around... this show. Do you remember when Meredith proposed, or when Ian proposed to Meredith?
I do, yeah.
That was one of the first times where I felt like I knew exactly what was going to happen, because she was talking about the other guy, if I remember, his name was Matt?
His name was Matt, yep, Matthew.
Matthew, and I remember her saying on Regis and Kelly, she was saying to Regis, you know, Ian's great, and Matt, you know, he's the safe choice. And Regis is like, oh, well, you're not picking him.
Yeah.
You're not picking the guy you're calling safe. Forget about it.
So stupid of her.
And it was true. Yeah. It was true. And that was one of the first times that I said to you, like, she's making the wrong choice.
Yeah, that was one of the first times that I felt really like, oh, this relationship isn't going to work out.
Right. You know? And we were right.
We were right. Next is he titles The Crying Game. After rejecting Molly Mullaney, but before proposing to Melissa Rycroft, Jason Mesnick leaned over a rail and sobbed during The Bachelor's 13th season finale in 2009. His anguish was a sign of things to come, but it also cemented his online legacy and made a lasting impression on Harrison. Look, it has its own term, he says of Jason's emotional outburst, which was teased all season long in previews. Everybody knows what, quote unquote, the Mesnick is.
Well, first of all, I don't know if that's necessarily true.
No.
But come on, you can't fault someone for getting emotional and upset about choosing between two people that
and
you love.
And having to break somebody's heart.
Yeah.
He felt bad.
Anyone would cry
Give
about
a guy
that.
Break. So speaking of Jason, Chris's next moment was calling the switch up. It's probably the wildest moment that I'll ever live through, Harrison says, of the After the Final Rose special in which Mesnick broke up with Melissa to rekindle romance with runner-up Molly.
That was absolutely crazy.
And then not only did he just rekindle things with Molly, he and Molly ended up getting married.
That's
crazy.
Now, how come they never come back for... Maybe they were there like a season or two ago.
They were there for...
For Brad and Emily. They
Brad
came
and
back
Emily,
for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
They came back to be like,
Here's what you need to know.
Yeah. this was awesome. Battle Royale. Jake Pavelka and former fiance Vienna in 2010 when they had a post-split conversation. Harrison says, I promise you, I didn't think it was going to go that way, he says of their meltdown, in which Girardi famously labeled her ex a fame whore. It was kind of the perfect storm. The clouds closed up and swallowed us whole, and the rest is bachelor history.
You know, I will never forget watching that because we were watching it in Syracuse with my grandma, who she's not doing too well right now, but at the time she was like just watching with him.
Yeah, like,
what is this all about? Why is she mad at him? And like having to explain it to her, like really put it in the perspective, like
like how this ridiculous
this is. This is the most ridiculous, dumb thing ever.
It was Matt and me and Grammy watching this after the final rose.
You're like, sorry, well, we gotta go record a podcast now. We'll be right back.
It's horrible.
which I will say this, you know, she's actually not doing too well right now. But when I saw her last week, she said, "Oh, Matt, I watched that show again. She saw after the final rose, and she was like explaining. She's like, yeah, I guess, you know." That girl, no one liked that girl or something. I'm like, yeah, yeah. No one really liked her. Like, yeah, yeah. She didn't seem all that nice. I'm she's not Grammy.
next is Bentley's betrayal. This was good. This has to be on the list, right? Bentley with Ashley.
Bentley is an amazing character from this show.
And this is interesting of what Chris Harrison says. He says, it's the one thing that I kind of regret not stepping in more. He says, Harrison says of the romance, which was derailed when Williams later left the show, but that's definitely something that resonates with fans. It's true. I agree. I think someone should have stepped in.
Someone should have done something. Yeah. Please.
This is interesting. I totally forgot about this one. Forbidden Love. Contestant Rosalind Papa briefly stole the show from Pavelka during The Bachelor's 14th season when she embarked on a relationship with a show producer. And was disqualified as a result.
That was really interesting. And what was really interesting was they kind of swept it under the rug as soon as it happened. Like they confronted it head on, which they should have. And they told her to hit the road, but they never mentioned it ever again. Not during the Women Tell All.
No, they did.
They talked about it during the Women Tell All?
Yeah, they did.
Really?
Yeah, she came out like with another producer.
Wait, you're right. He even says it right here.
So Chris says, they did have a relationship and it wasn't even alleged. It did happen, Harrison says. I regret the fact that I didn't go further and really, really hammer her on the Women Tell All because as you saw, she kind of took advantage and came back and it turned ugly.
That's right. Okay, now that does... Yeah, that make sense. Okay.
Now that makes more sense to you?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, and I remember she was attacking him personally too, which was like intense. And so they were sparring back and forth for a little while. But I think I did see her in a... You know how they do those stupid things where they flash to like a bachelor reunion where it's all those people in the bar and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think there was one time where we saw her like in the background.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
Never.
So I guess that's the end. Is that all we got?
That's the end. That's all we got. So. Are you excited for Emily's season?
Yeah, I am excited. I heard a rumor that the Muppets might make a cameo. So that's going to be the best.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious. So that's going to be like the best season ever, if you ask me.
Well, of course.
Maybe she'll end up picking Gonzo or something
final rose. Depending upon what normally happens, you never know. She just might. He might be the best choice for her for all we know.
Actually, before we close out, there was one last piece of gossip I read. I think it was today that Ben F. was spotted in Las Vegas without Courtney, and he was hanging out with some girls, but... He was on a business trip, supposedly. So,
well, he's allowed to go out without her. Don't forget, you gave them 3 months.
I know,
and I
know.
I gave them six.
The clock is ticking here.
Yeah, your time's coming to a close here. Looks like I might win this bet.
Yeah, this bet for all the money that we have riding on it, right? Well, we thank you guys for listening. We hope that we'll see you in a couple weeks when... Emily starts.
Yes.
And she starts on May 14th. So I'm sure that'll be like a 6-hour premiere episode or something. But we'll be back. We'll be back for a recap. I don't think we'll do a pre-show for that. But we'll be back for the first recap.
Right. First recap. Well, we want to thank you again for listening to the Bachelor Podcast. Feel free to email us. We love to read your stuff. And even if we don't read it on the air... Please write to us.
Yes, we do this for you. So your feedback is what keeps us going.
Yes.
Here. You can write us at thebachelorpodcast@gmail.com or you can visit us on the web at www.thebachelorpodcast.com. You can visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/thebachelorpodcast.
Or you can even follow us on Twitter. With username Bachelor Podcast.
And please leave us a review on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store, do a search for The Bachelor Podcast. We'll come up. Leave us a review. It means so much when we get reviews, first of all. We love reading them. And like I'll email Nicole like, look at what what this person
right,
said.
Right.
It's so nice. But also it helps other people find out about our show so that when they're searching for stuff, we make sure that we come up.
Right.
So make sure that you do that. All right. Well, back in the saddle briefly. It's nice to chat with you, Nicole.
You
here
too.
In the studio. And I guess I'll talk to you later.
Yes.
All right. Adios. We must be in love.